Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, the Jamoti Podcast is powered by Shoot 360. The future of basketball has arrived in Dallas-Fort Worth. Shoot 360 combines the latest sports technology with the fundamentals of basketball skill development. The result is a one-of-a-kind video game-like basketball program designed to improve your shooting, dribbling, and passing. Visit shoot360dfw.com to learn more and register for your free one-hour workout evaluation. Shoot 360, the future of basketball is here. I think you would agree that culture isn't just what's on a shirt or on a poster or on a wall. And it's not just one culture building activity, but it is literally how we show up, what we do every day. But I do love learning about maybe it's a meeting that teams have. Maybe they go somewhere, a game that they play or something that does help just to maybe put that culture on a fast track, get those players disarmed and knowing each other a little bit better. What's one of your favorite culture building activities?
Well, you know, it's so funny because when I put that down, I asked the guys the other day, I said at the end of the athletic period, I said, so what makes our culture? What makes us who we are?
Man, great question. Great question, by the way, to ask your players.
Yeah. And I said, you know, because I wanted to hear what they said.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I disagree, but no.
Of course, they're wrong the whole time. But
yeah, I said, what makes us who we are? I said, and, you know, a couple of the answers were we like to run and we like to push. I said, well, there's a lot of teams that like to do that. They like to press and like to run and like to get up and down the floor and score a lot of points. I said, what makes us different? What makes us who we are, you know, to have the success that they've been blessed with and to go on from there. And one of the things that we do, and they said the Dirty Dozen. And I said, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I think separates us. And it's so a Dirty Dozen, it's a conditioning drill that we do at the end of practice, just about every practice. Once season starts, we don't have enough time to do it during the athletic period. But what it's basically more of a toughness drill. And what we do is essentially, so it's 12 different running things that we do. You know, a lot of people talk about Syracuse running and things of that nature. What we have is we start off and we run a down and back, down and back. So you go full length of the court, back, full length of the court, back. We do one of those, and then we get – I give them, depending on where I feel their conditioning is, I'll give them 20 seconds, 21, 22 seconds to get that done. There's two groups. So as soon as the first group goes, the next group goes. We run three of those, and then we do what we have rim touches. So we have six goals around the gym. So we make a lap running, and, you know, and they don't run full speed, but they run and try to grab the rim all the way around. A lot of them are doing net touches at our level. But anyway, so they go, and then they do three of those laps.
Same here. As soon as you said that, I thought, well, there's only like three that are.
Yeah. So we call them rim touches. It's that wishful thinking, right?
Yeah.
And we do that, and then we do what we call a square, which is basically a figure eight. You sprint to half court. You're on the sideline. Sprint to half court, shuffle across, all the way across half court. Sprint to the other end, shuffle across, back pedal, shuffle. So it's a figure eight. We do three of those, and then we finish with three horses, which is free throw back, half court back, other free throw back, full court back. And when we do it right, it probably takes about almost 15 minutes to do two groups. But it's a tough, tough drill. And it's one of those things that I think mentally I use with the kids and say, look, I know there's other people doing a lot of conditioning and things of that nature, but I convince them that nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is doing it. And so we have a toughness to mix with the way that mental toughness and physical toughness to mix with kind of the running and pushing and pressing that we do. I kind of go back to when, you know, watching Loyola Marymount way back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talked about that sand hill that they ran. You know, and it was, you know, it was that mental piece that they knew. You know, if you ever watched The Guru of Go on that's like
I have my team watch it every year. It's right there. Coach is right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. They talk about those kids still, they're not kids anymore.
Yeah. Obviously.
But they still talk about that was who, what made them, who they are.
Yep.
You know, they were ready to go. Everybody else was getting tired, but that was something mentally. It was just part of it too, was just a mental aspect. And I think that's one of the pieces of our culture that really drives us, is that, you know, I'm able, fortunately, to convince the guys, and they are, it's not just me convincing them, that they're mentally tough and physically tough, and that they can do, you know, they can do some very difficult things and be successful with it.
Love the Dirty Dozen idea. And yeah, to your point, I don't think it matters what you do, right? But it's how you do what you do.
Right.
It's like, you could do that, but if they're jogging, or, you know, if there's nothing more to it, where, like, that to me, it is a program builder. It's a confidence builder. It's them believing, whether it's true or not, believing that no one else is doing what they're doing, which is what you said. Can you walk me through that? Because I'm trying to think of, like, in my gym right now, with our six baskets, got roughly 20 to 25 kids. Like, how would you go about organizing that to where, because, like, things like the rim touches the figure eight to where there's not a huge line, or how do you do that?
Well, and so, like, you know, you start off, so I have them in two groups. So we have 24 kids right now.
Okay.
So I pretty much split it. Now, once we get into season, I'll probably split it a little bit more varsity, JV. I may pull up, like, the top four or five JV guys to put with that varsity group, because I don't want somebody that isn't serious about it in that in the varsity group especially. So I'll have them run. The other ones are waiting on the baseline while they run a down and back, down and back. I'll put a time on it. And it depends on what kind of mood I'm in that day. If they don't hit the time, we may say, I would say, right back up there. And that other group waits. Or I may have them, I say, that one doesn't count. And so they'll run that. And then on the rim touches, we'll start in a line, and they start going. When the last guy gets to the third goal, the next group starts. And so it goes, it goes pretty quick on that aspect. And then the squares, I'll have the one group go. And then when they're doing their back pedal coming back from the far end, and the last person starts across half court, then the other group goes. And so, you know, that gets them probably 20 to 30 seconds breather between each thing that they do.
Yeah.
And so it gives them, you know, on a great day, you can probably do it in 12 to 13 minutes. It's about a minute for each thing. And so, like I said, it's one of those that, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, but you do have a group waiting, but they're catching their breath. And the one thing I do, I mean, it's 12 minutes. They don't touch water. They don't go over there because the water is over there, water bottles. So no, when you're done, you're done. And the big thing is, I think for us, is like when the varsity gets done with their last thing, they can't go over and get their drink. They've got to stay there and cheer on the JV as they're going. And I think that kind of builds that part. And heck, Coach Driscoll, who's my assistant and does the junior high, they're doing it in junior high. They started off doing it in junior high. And now they don't have any times on it, obviously. But, you know, it's one of those things where it kind of gets those, they start supporting each other, because they help each other. There's some kids that it hurts. It hurts bad. You know, you got your one kid that could run all day and it doesn't bother him at all.
Yeah, we all hate that kid.
I see him go over there and you got a big old postman that, you know, I don't know if you saw us play this year, but we had a 6'2", probably 300-pound postman that was good. He was good. But that Dirty Dozen was not his. He did not – it was not – he didn't like it. He hated it. And he would be dying after each thing we did, and there'd be a kid going over there and helping him up. And it just built that camaraderie and things. But, yeah, he didn't like that too much. But I tell you what, it helped him get, you know, where he was in condition to play a lot. We played, you know, my first year here, we played six guys. It was all we played.
Wow.
We'd go down, you know, and you have your 20-20 or your 30-30 guys, right, you know, that you'd play. But if it was a game, if it was anywhere near a game, there would be six guys and that's it. And we press and we run.
A lot like Loyola Marymount.
Yes. Yeah. And we do. And so, you know, then this past year, we now had it up to seven. We had seven guys that we played. And so, you know, we got one more. This next year, we might be, you know, we'll see. You might go back down to six, maybe seven. We'll see. But I think that was, they were able to convince themselves that they could do it. And that kid was able to do a lot more running and stuff than what people anticipated that he could. just because he had done those things. And it helped his confidence tremendously. When he saw he could get through something that he didn't think he could get through, it helped him. It helped him tremendously. And it was difficult. It was hard. And me starting here, that was probably one of the hardest jobs I ever had to do, was when I started here. Because my first year here, I was assistant principal, didn't coach. It was the only year I was out of coaching. And then it kind of worked out where the previous coach, he left. I got the job and came in. And they didn't know me from Adam about coaching. And that coach had been here for 15. I think he'd been the head coach for 15 years.
Wow.
So I'm dealing with 16-year-old kids that the only thing they remembered was that coach. And they were very successful. So it took them a long time to believe in me and buy in that I knew what I was doing. And that was probably one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. But once they finally believed in me, and that was part of the stick-to-itiveness, you know, going to stick to it, we're going to do these things. And it was a completely different style change than what they were used to. But then, you know, all of a sudden we win a few big games early on in the year and things go our way. And then it kind of just goes from there. But that was a difficult part. And that Dirty Dozen, I think, you know, it really helped them get over that hump.
I'm so glad that you shared that. I was having a talk with Ryan Wall, coach Wall's son. And he's at Texarkana, and he was talking about how, because they press off of misses, which is really interesting to hear.
We do that too. We try to do that all the time too.
He was talking about the conditioning, how they build it up in the fall to the season, and I've kind of gone back and forth where there's years where in the fall it's just all skill work, building our offensive base, very little conditioning at all, with the idea that when the season starts, we'll build our legs. And then there's times during the year I'm like, golly, we're just not in the shape we need to be, and I don't want to run them right now. So I think building it, their legs in the, like, I might start with the Dirty Dozen, but like the Dirty Four, the Dirty Eight, and because all you got, just keep doubling it, right? Or adding one. And but weekly building it up to where I think then when the season starts, I can just focus on our consistency and our efficiency rather than our legs. That's good.
Right. Yeah. And that is that part, you know, we build in, you know, our part of our stuff that we built in is, you know, we have these breaks that are built into our schedule that we can take advantage of them to get their legs back. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have a fall break. Our school has a fall break, and it's this year. Last year it was the week before we started after school practice. So that gave them, now this year it's 2 weeks before, but still the same situation. They get a week away. They get to go have, then we'll take Thanksgiving. We'll try to play Monday, Tuesday of Thanksgiving. Then I'll give them the rest of the week off.
Nice.
And then we take a little bit longer over Christmas. We don't have to take just the 5 days. That's the advantage of not having football. Because I don't have to wait till November, if you're at a really good place, December, till you get your kids. So, you know, those coaches are having to work out on Saturdays. We don't ever work out on Saturdays. Those kids are having to work out Saturdays. They're having to work out Thanksgiving. They're having to work out Christmas. They're having to do all that. You know, we'll play games. We play a game this year on our schedule on December 19th. And our next game is at the Whataburger tournament it's not the Whataburger anymore, but December 28th. I'm going to give them from the end of that game on the 19th, and we'll come back on the 27th and do a little shoot around. So I'll give them that amount of time, and that kind of builds in that part. We're very fortunate to have that. I never will forget my first year at Zavala. I'd come from Brazos where I didn't get my kids during the athletic period, during basketball season. They were in the weight room. I got them after school, and that was it. So I was working out 2 hours after school every day. We were working out every Saturday. And Saturday practices were 3-4 hours. I mean, I was trying to get everything going. And then, you know, Thanksgiving, we worked out every day on Thanksgiving. We had open gym on Thanksgiving Day. If we had a chance to work out, we did. Well, then I tried to go to Zavala that next year. We didn't have football. And so I started with the first day of school. Well, I had that same mentality.
Yeah.
And at Christmas time, they were done. I mean, they were burned out. They were done. And it's like, we were good in November, But when it came to January, it was like, oh, I had to really rethink things and do things a little differently. But yeah, it taught me that when you're at a school that, you know, they're playing basketball a lot, you know, and that's one thing too, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, building skill and things of that nature and do a lot of skill work, you know, at that clinic there in Central Heights, you know, Danny Henderson talked about, you know, how they work their skill work every day. Today was just because I felt like we needed it. We did refresher on all our defensive stuff. We did, and everything's full court.
Yeah.
We don't do anything in the half court like our defensive drills, defensive one-on-one shuffles, defensive one-on-one with the ball. We did a trap drill, and then we did it turns into a full court because it's two-on-one. I'll inbound the ball. There'll be a guy guarding me as the inbound and a guy guarding the ball. I mean, guarding the offensive player, and he'll get open. I'll throw it to him, and they got to trap him. They get the whole court to do it. And, you know, they got to get a trap. If the offense turns it over, they got push-ups. If the defense lets them get a shot off, they got push-ups. If the offensive guy gets in a trap, it's nothing. The defense and the offense both win because I'm trying to teach the offense not to turn the ball over. I said, if you get in a trap, you can pivot out of it.
It's not football. They can't tackle you. Yeah.
Right. You're not giving them the ball.
Yep.
It never fails. Offensive guy will just dribble out of bounds. I'm like, what are you doing? Just get in the trap. You got
like Bob Hurley Sr. said at the clinic. He said, hey, new rule. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, so we did that. And then we did what we call our 4-on-4 flyout. We have a 3-on-3 flyout. We did 4-on-4 flyout. And it's basically putting the defense, you know, we have to go trap the ball. And so you have two defenders trying to get a steal when there's three offensive guys. So it's putting them in a bad position, and they're going to have to sprint back. That's a big part of the pressing.
Yeah.
Is the running back, not just pressing on the front end. The big piece is running back. And so it's one of those things where, you know, today was nothing but defense. Now, there's offensive stuff built in there to work on. You know, there's an offense against the defense, so they're getting to work that.
Yep.
But part of it is, you know, I get up at school. I get up here probably about 6:45. Like this morning, I got up at school at 6:45, and there were six kids in the gym already. I don't know how they got in there, but they got in there. You know,
we'll cut that part out.
No, but you know, but it's great. Of course, yeah. One of them's my son, so I think I know how he got in there.
Oh, like, yeah. Your badge was just missing this morning.
But they work on their skill. That's part of that. What did this culture promote?
Yeah.
Success. And so why are they doing that? Because they want to be good. We had four starters that graduated off our team, state finalist team. Four starters. So do you think that the guys coming up want to be the ones that push for it?
So healthy peer pressure right there, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.